Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever Roach Coach Live. My name is Lauren Kozlowski. With me, as always, the Indigo Angel, Jennifer Bloomer.
Hello.
And the original Roach Rider himself, Mr. Matt Nas.
Keep it rolling, baby.
Yeah. Tonight, you guys, we are joined here at Go Comedy Theater in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan, to talk about what some would say is the most important album.
In the world.
In the world.
Ever.
Ever made.
No hyperbole.
None at all.
None.
No. Korn's Follow the Leader. We got some Korn fans here tonight. Okay. All right.
That was substantially less than I was expecting.
Yeah. I guess we don't have to watch what we say.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess not. So we have a lot to discuss today. Before we get to Korn, though, we have something special we're doing tonight. The very first Roach Coach Appeal.
That's right.
A gentleman, some of you may know him, his name is Alan Smock. Very nice guy. He approached me and he said, you guys should put Twist by Korn in the canon. You talk about it in every episode. It's super great. Put it in.
It's super great, he said. Keep that in mind when we revisit it.
Yes.
Modicum of hyperbole.
Yeah.
There.
I mean, who knows?
So we said we will consider this for appeal. And what better place to do it than in front of a live studio audience? So, Matt, do you have Twist pulled up?
I do.
Okay, and just for a little context, this is the first song on Korn's last album, Life is Peachy. What did we induct from that album?
Adidas.
Uh-huh.
And another song.
Yeah. Who could tell? You all have it in front of you.
Everybody in the audience actually has.
Yeah, everyone has a flyer that
we
has
can't
the canon.
Remember.
We can't remember.
We can't remember.
Was it, was it just
No Place to Hide.
No Place to Hide. Of course. Great song.
Sure, I remembered that.
All right. So, Twist. Let's take a listen.
Let it rip.
Let it rip. It feels longer right now. Hold on, I know he's gonna say it. Hold on, here it is.
Twist, 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 twist.
Okay.
It's only like 45 seconds, but it feels like a lifetime.
Yeah.
Okay, it's super great.
Yeah?
I mean, I don't know. It's the dumbest song I've ever heard.
Matt.
Okay. Where to begin with Twist? Here's the thing with Twist. I didn't expect us to continually reference it, but it has been a touchstone. Alan rightfully pointed out, we did this kind of early. I want to say it was in the 20s.
No, episode 11.
Oh, sweet Jesus. All right, so it was episode 11, so it was way early. We have now done 30-plus albums since then. It's a touchstone.
I would put it in.
Let's put it in. It's in! All right.
We should put it in, though, with the asterisk.
Oh, Jenny wants an asterisk. Okay.
It's dumb. It is dumb, but it is a touchstone.
That's a great asterisk.
That's a pretty good one.
Thanks, guys.
That's a good one.
Appreciate the support.
All right. Well, old business out of the way. The album of the week, Follow the Leader by Korn. Jenny, when did this album come out?
This album was released on August 18th, 1998.
You have your timeline in front of you. That is getting the party started.
That is getting the party started.
Yes.
We have prepped this audience with everything they need.
Everything. Yeah.
Whether they're diehard Roach Riders or brand new Indigo Angels.
Yes.
You are prepared.
Absolutely. So, Jenny, any history with this album?
Well, this was a TRL staple. In fact, this was the first album ever to be retired from TRL.
They retired it.
They retired it because it wouldn't go away. but yeah, I mean, I knew these songs as they were very, very popular. This album went five times platinum. Whoa. Here, three times platinum in Australia.
Shout out to our Australian
Steven,
listeners.
And Canada. Cool. but yeah, I mean, it was super popular. I didn't own it.
You didn't own this.
Wait. You didn't own this?
I didn't own it. What is this? A witch hunt? No. No, I didn't have it. I don't know. I kind of thought it was nerdy.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
This is so early in the show for you to be calling things nerdy. Okay.
Well.
All right. Well, I have my original copy here.
Okay. Okay.
Week of release.
All right.
I went with my buddy and his mom. I bought it, I want to say, at Harmony House, so it probably cost about $25. So
not a big thrift.
Not a big thrift. Jenny, do you want to take a look at
that? I would love to. Thank you.
Okay. Matt Nyes, history with Follow the Leader.
It's well established that I watched TRL all of 1999.
Oh, okay.
For no other reason than it was on. And I saw Got the Life. I saw Freak on the Leash nearly every day. I never owned this record. I never bought this record. So that was 99, but this came out August 2000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. No.
1998. A week before this came out, Massive Attack's Mezzanine came out. And that is the album I bought and listened to constantly.
That is a very different album.
Very
from
different.
From this album. In a lot of ways. I've never fallen asleep to Korn Follow the Leader.
But Korn Follow the Leaders also was not the theme of House.
It should have been.
Oh, man. That show would have been something else.
Lauren.
Yes.
You didn't join the Korn fan club.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
Club with a K. Don't worry.
Fan club?
Club.
Fan club?
Hard K.
It says
club?
Email, and underneath email, in parentheses, it says yada, yada, yada.
Who knew email would
take off?
We need to establish Korn don't give no fucks.
They don't.
That's true.
We're going to talk about a lot of things on this album tonight.
Oh, God. Please.
And if you're a tender baby,
if anybody needs a hug after,
oh, man.
I'll hug you.
Because let me tell you, this album, how many listens did you do, Jenny?
Five.
Okay. I did four. And on my first three, I was rocking and rolling. And on my number four was my note-taking session, and I got to look at these lyrics straight in the eye. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. I took a couple breaks and looked at pictures of my son on my phone to feel a little better.
Yeah, I read these lyrics at a work meeting today.
Oh.
And I was sitting there, and I was like, oh, shit, my dad's coming tonight. This is going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Oh, man.
Love you, Dad.
Yeah. I want to mention, we all know the radio station. Well, people here in the audience obviously know the radio station, 89X. 89X is still playing Korn, you guys.
Good.
I went and checked their list, their play logs, because they have them on their website. Freak on a Leash was played on June 6th at 2:53 in the morning. So Korn is still getting spins.
What was it that they played?
Freak on a Leash.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wasn't listening.
No, you weren't.
So if you were up at 2 in the morning.
2 in the morning.
Yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Freak on a Leash.
They were probably just getting ready. They're heating up for this episode.
I got to tell you, you can tell the schedule was done by a computer because some of the choices were really either wrong or like really wrong. Like at 6 o'clock in the morning, they played Closing Time.
That's an all-night bar.
Yeah, that was like That was a strong suggestion for someone with a problem.
Yeah, and they played at 4 o'clock in the morning. They played Last Resort.
This all sounds right to me, so maybe.
Okay. They play Linkin Park on the hour.
Ugh,
any
okay.
song.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I guess we can dive into this thing.
I guess so.
Well, who's in Korn?
Oh, shit!
For this record.
Who's in Korn?
It's okay. I'm ready. Jonathan Davis on vocals, bagpipes, and drums when we get a little crazy later.
Okay.
Head on guitar, Monkey on guitar, Fieldy on bass guitar and vocals, and our good boy, David, on drums and bass guitar when we get a little crazy later.
That's right. Get a little crazy later. People just start throwing instruments around
yeah.
and other people are picking them up and it doesn't
Whoever.
Make any sense.
It's a free-for-all.
It is. So interesting thing about this album, the first 13 tracks in the CD, silent.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
They are in tribute to a deceased fan named Justin, who also got a song about him on the album.
Yep.
So this is like a mega tribute to this kid.
Which is nice.
It is very nice.
So let's remember that nice thing they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As we go into what yep. you're about to hear. Mm-hmm.
Keep that
That was
in mind.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. All right. So once you get through 13 silent tracks, which I think tallies 48 seconds or something like that, the first song is called It's On.
You gotta give them a minute.
Yeah.
You're gonna notice that a lot.
Yeah. This is normally what we do. We just sit yep. and stare at each other for a second. Oh, someone's mad now. It's dance moves we're always talking about.
You know it's time.
This whole song, Jonathan Davis is like, where are my bagpipes?
Oh, I know, right? Good hook, very crunchy.
Pretty crunchy.
Pretty crunchy.
Not quite the pit activator I was hoping for.
No, not quite.
But how can you activate the pit when, Lauren, you know what was happening when the song was recorded?
So some crazy things were going on in the studio.
A lot of stuff happened when this was recorded.
Do you want to handle this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dad, earmuffs. this is what Jonathan Davis said was happening while this was being recorded. There were people getting blowjobs right behind me, and there was girls banging each other in front of me. People getting boned in the closet right behind me. It was the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life when I sang that song. According to Davis, he only agreed to begin tracking vocals when producer Toby Wright met his demands for an 8-ball, a 1/8 ounce of cocaine. So,
really specific.
Before I knew that it was like a cocaine-fueled festival of fucking, I was right. like, I am not into this song. Afterward, I was like, I am too much of an eavesdropper to like do anything if that was going on around me. So I guess good job.
I mean, good. Is this the most incredible instance of multitasking, though? I mean,
I don't think he
was. Well, maybe
was,
he wasn't taking part. He was just like, it was all going on.
I feel like he's the kind of guy who would be like, and I was definitely doing this. But or maybe not. I don't know.
I'm checking levels. If there was somebody fucking in the distance, I wouldn't be able to focus at all.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll...
I am barely doing this well.
All right. Well, it's a good thing we didn't add that to our live
yeah,
show.
Yeah. Thank yeah. you for not yeah. adding sex show.
No oh, problem. Man.
Give us another week. It could have happened.
Yeah.
So we didn't mention that the album art is done by Todd McFarlane, who is the creator of the comic book Spawn. Any Spawn Ooh. Fans in the house tonight?
Even fewer than Korn fans.
Even fewer than Korn okay. fans.
Well, all right.
I hope there's some overlap. This was a big deal for me because I was a big Spawn fan at the time.
All right.
So I was like, he's doing the cover of the Korn album? Who knew these two people knew each other?
Yeah.
They were simple times.
Oh, yeah. Man. I just was like, how would these two people... Like, cross paths.
Oh, what halcyon days.
He was just, you know, randomly boning some woman in a room. And there was Jonathan Davis with his bagpipes.
Oh, yeah. Who produced this album?
There we go.
Okay, it was Steve Thompson and Toby Wright.
What?
That's right. Steve Thompson and Toby Wright.
Do we know anything about these guys?
Oh, I'll tell you what I know about Steve Thompson.
Okay.
He's won a bunch of Grammys. My favorite one was for Blues Traveler Run Around. I know a thing or two about Steve Thompson. By which I mean one thing, and it's just that.
Wow.
And he also won a Grammy for this album, but Blues Traveler, you know? I wonder what was happening in that John Popper recording studio.
He threw up three harmonicas.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay.
Other than that, I've got nothing for you.
Okay. My understanding, actually, is that Thompson, cool guy, did not cut it. And they had to let him go.
Oh, okay.
So they had they spent 9 months and $500,000 with him.
Wow.
And then they said, "You gotta go." And
then they brought in Mr. Wright.
They brought in Toby.
He probably wouldn't go get him an eight ball. And they were like, "You sure?"
Because I got Toby on speed dial.
I just paid you $500,000, and he's like, "I'm about to go hang out with John Popper." So like,
now, interestingly enough, though. Ross Robinson, the angel,
Robinson,
is credited for vocal production.
Yeah, you vocal coached Jonathan Davis through this whole thing.
So, imagine you're in the booth. You're getting ready to sing the song called It's On. People are being blown in front of you, fucked behind you. And then there's Ross Robinson, like, "I'm gonna whip this houseplant at you if you don't nail this vocal."
Yeah, not mention succulents in that studio.
I can't believe they got it done. I'm just gonna be honest.
Neither can I, yeah. but they did, and they did a pretty good job.
There we go. There's a pretty tremendous drop near the end there, which we're not gonna listen to, but if you listen to it in your own time. Jenny, how was songmeanings.com in regards to this?
Oh, man. So guys, songmeanings.com, if you don't know, is a website I started way back when. Or just found Googling when we started doing this show. But the comments section is always a true delight. All these comments are a nightmare. I'm just going to tell you that right up front. My favorite comment on this one was, "I always thought it was about sex, but there you go." That was from Harry Manback. He posts a lot on here.
Oh, Harry Manback.
Harry Manback.
Yeah, we've seen Harry Manback.
Yeah, he's on here all the time. I have a, let's see, a good comment from Killswitch 916. "They sure as hell do know how to do shit right."
Yeah.
Who am I to disagree?
Hey.
All right. We're moving on to the second song, or track 14 if you have the CD. This is, of course, the big single. Some say it's what took him over the top. "Freak on a Leash," and we have the video.
Theoretically.
All of this is theoretical at this moment.
I don't know what's happening here.
All right.
But you can see the video. And it's Todd McFarlane. Oh, there we go.
I'm just going to play the track.
Oh, okay.
We'll show the video in the background.
Okay. So, animated beginning. Some kids are sneaking in to play hopscotch on a cliff, as one does. A cop sees them come
Something
in and says, "I'm going to need my gun."
Something lost and never seen.
And I watched this video a couple times now. Notice here, he realizes that it's the corn cover and he gets pissed.
Something's raped and taken from me.
But then he trips.
From me. Life's gotta always be missing
and
me.
Oh, there's the bullet.
Uh-oh, guys. Uh-oh. Follow the bullet.
Uh-oh. Follow the bullet.
Can't I take away all
and now this bullet's gonna proceed to blow through so many things. Oh, man.
That cookie jar is done.
Done.
No cookies in the cookie jar. Not one.
Oh, there's the band. There they are. Oh, they're doing great. Yeah, well, this is not synced up, but that's okay.
It's so not synced.
Not synced up.
That's fine.
Oh, man. It looks like they've been dodging bullets all day based on that room.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you can bring it down, Matt. So we'll just keep that running. You can keep a tally at home of what your favorite thing the bullet goes through. Mine is the comic book. I thought that one's pretty cool.
Mine is still the cookie jar because there's nothing in it.
So it's like, fuck
this
jar.
It's like, why is that even in your kitchen?
Yeah. It also almost hits a fat guy near the end. And I was just like, director's cut? Maybe? But I don't know.
It's a busy bullet.
Matt, if you want to actually go to the... Really, they say that this song is the song that took him over the top, but there's this particular moment that took him over the top.
Yeah.
And if you could go to it, it's at 233. That's it.
Here we fucking go.
There we go. And in the video, he is scatting at the bullet, which is teasingly like it's going to kill the members of Korn, but then it doesn't do it. They all stare it. They all stare this bullet down. But Korn has no fear. And then it leaves after he yells go at it.
So if you're ever getting shot at,
just yell, just like, scat
go.
First.
Yeah, scat a little bit.
And say go.
Yeah.
It's like bang.
Yeah. You've got just moments.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, you basically, once the gun is drawn, just start scatting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, come on. Boom, ba, ba, dee, ba, ba, doo, ba. Go.
Yep.
We saved your life.
Yeah, you're welcome. So something I noticed on this album is that there aren't really any riffs. In the verses, it's literally just with the guitar, which I enjoyed. I thought that was interesting and different.
Yeah, you know what? I actually really liked this album a lot.
Oh, you should have mentioned that up top.
Yeah,
oh,
well, okay. You know, whatever.
You didn't own it, so,
I'm
you
being
know.
Mysterious.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. And then I read the lyrics, so now I'm conflicted, but I guess we're all going to watch me work through my feelings together.
Yeah.
I
wrote in my notes that the drop after the go is the fucking best.
It is really good.
And you know who agrees with me? 506 comments on songmeanings.com.
Oh, my God.
506?
506.
I almost died today reading these comments. I got in too deep. I couldn't breathe. I was trying to find my faves. There is an intense argument.
We could do a whole show on just this comment thread.
We really could.
It's insane.
It's, oh my God.
So we've been doing this show a year. This is our birthday show. Happy birthday to us.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much.
And in the year that we've been doing the show, we've been going to songmeanings.com. We love it. It's Jenny's website.
It's my website.
You know? And people have said terrible things in these threads. Also said informative things, but they sometimes will just
mostly
attack
terrible.
Each other
yeah.
and snipe at each other, and it'll go on and on. And I remember thinking, is there like a moderator? And I think we've joked about it, and you're like, nah, you know.
Nah.
Mods are sleeping.
Dude, free speech.
Guys, on this Freak on a Leash thread, the mod woke up. But he didn't mod the way that you're supposed to, which is just delete the offending comments.
Oh, no.
No. He went in. And we know he's the mod because his name is
Song Meanings.
So Mr. Meanings.
Or Mrs. Meanings.
Mrs. Meanings.
If you're nasty.
Or Ms. Meanings. Ms. Or Dr. Meanings. Meanings.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
Dr. Meanings, please, to the emergency room.
I'll come out of my room to comment on this corn song.
We have many questions about Freak on a Leash.
Hold on. Who's Duke 724? How dare he enter my forum?
So, before Jenny reads this comment, I want to mention that it is upvoted 12 times. It is the top voted comment on this 506 comment thread. And just for some backstory on it, Duke724 said some bad things about Korn. He said that they were Satanists. And I think that's all the setup we need for this incredible comment, Jenny.
Yeah. All right. Duke724, are you from the magical land of twats and bell wipes? If you don't shut the fuck up, I'm going to piss in your eye sockets and shit down your neck, you arse boy.
This is the moderator?
Yes, this is the moderator.
I'd bet you'd like a good bum, not saying it, you little freak. I can slag you off as good as you can slag us off, you little bitch. That's the moderator.
That's the moderator.
There are 506 comments on this.
Yeah. So two crude dudes responded to that and said, best post I've ever seen from any admin, moderator, whatever, on any website. I would plus one you some more if I could. And then some people call him a legend. One big dick lover says, funny!
Yeah.
Classic big dick lover.
Yeah.
You know what? He loves two things.
Big dicks and good jokes.
That's right.
Hey.
That's right.
My boy.
That's him. I wrote down just a couple. Yeah, because there's a lot of good ones. Dreadlock. He actually was like, let's talk about what this song's about.
He said, wait, what?
Yeah. He's upvoted 7 times, so people were on board. He said, this song's about being treated like a freak on a leash.
7 times?
And hence the title. It's about being suppressed and abused and at the same time being paraded around in a cage for everyone to see. The chorus of the song is, in my opinion, one of the best ever. This song is regarded by many as not just the best Korn song, but the best in the genre of nu metal.
So that was my question. Is this the best Korn song?
I mean, it's no Twist.
It's better than Twist.
It's better than Twist. Geez, that's tough. Sure.
Sure.
Here's the thing. It's all about the slow build. That was the thing I noticed. Like, the first time the chorus drops, it's like, oh, this is cool. And then the second time the chorus drops, it's cooler. And then after he says go and scats, and then the build up, and then they do it again, and it's like they add like a little more guitars, and then it's like the best thing you've ever heard. And you want to like stand in the rain and put your arms out.
Wow.
Yeah. You Andy Dufresne to this song?
You Andy Dufresne to this song. Yes.
I used to make fun of this song often.
Oh.
Okay. Mainly because the verses were like,
yeah, that's every Korn song.
Everyone will follow.
Matt, are you trying to get inducted into the nu metal canon right now?
Submitted for your approval.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You have the keys to the canon, so you can go in whenever you want.
Follow.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, Matt Noss is in the nu metal canon.
There we go. All right. I did write down. Yoda 2287 wrote a really long comment letting you know what, because the whole thing started with Duke basically accusing Korn of being satanic. And he said, to be true with that Duke guy, if he is still pathetic enough to be reading this shit, I really am a goth and I really am a Satanist. Korn is not a satanic band. Far from it. Mayhem, Marduk, Behemoth, Gorgoroth.
Yep.
These are satanic bands. I was brainwashed as a child in school to follow Christianity like a sheep.
Longmeanings.com can be a therapy session too. It's
as
fine.
I grew older, I started to see the truth,
IMO.
In my opinion.
He wrote, IMO.
So I'm a Satanist now. What of it? We don't really eat babies and sacrifice virgins and drink their blood. We are like most other religions, except Christianity, which is all shun the heretic, kill the Muslims, gays and unbelievers will suffer and burn in a fire until the end of time. We are actually a peace-loving religion. And then he quotes some lyrics, but I like this one at the end because he says, he goes, satanic bands sing about, well, I don't know, Satan? And then he says, the ultimate diss. I mean, this is something that Jenny would say to you if she was mad.
This is hard.
Do you want to read it?
Yeah. Go listen to Linkin Park and cry. All caps, cry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt.
Yep. And
you're in a Linkin Park shirt. I love it.
And so that had 8 sub-replies. Like I said, we could spend all night on this. I won't. But
we really can't.
A voice in the dark wrote a paragraph. That starts with Yoda 2287, friend. I am a fallen angel in human flesh. Beware that your Dark Lord has made many of your kind and my kind fall. And then, like a coward he is, hides behind a veil of lies. Veil is misspelled.
Toward the end of this...
Yes.
They say, the devil is a dick BTW.
So
the devil? Oh, yeah. Real dick BTW.
So he writes this whole thing. It's like a big thing about getting ready for Satan. It's very long. If you have time, don't read it. And he says at the end of it, he goes, he's going to send a demon invasion onto here to Earth soon. This was written in January, so maybe.
Of this year.
Of this year. There are seven gates of hell on Earth, but they're not open yet till the final solstice. Whenever that is.
Shit.
And then he wrote, and then he signed it, Nemo, the benevolent D-mom. D-E-M-O-M.
Sure did.
So then he immediately commented underneath, star, demon, oops, sorry, large fingers, slanty face.
He's a giant demon.
Like, oh, it's going to be D-mom.
It's going to be really bad. Oh,
from the pits of infinite blackness.
There are seven gates of hell on Earth. They're not going to open until the final solstice. Oh, no, a typo. No. I got to let him know.
Autocorrect.
I'm not a D-mom.
My fingers are large BT dubs.
Oh, well, we're all going to die.
One more thing. Korn won the MTV Video Music Award for Best Rock Video for Freak on a Leash. And well-deserved, I would say. Maybe not. No? No? Okay. Everyone's kind of like, I don't know. What were the other nominees?
Who was up that year?
Well, let's see. I've got it pulled up here. I'll let you know who they were. They were up against Kid Rock, Bawa Taba.
I agree.
Oh. Lenny Kravitz, Fly Away.
No.
No. Limp Bizkit, Nookie.
Okay, hey.
Hey. Whoa, hey.
Watch it.
Whoa. And Offspring, Pretty Fly for a White Guy. So I think they really won that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would court it.
Yeah. So the internet's a special thing. I found them winning. And who of all people to present this to them? Christina Aguilera and Tommy Lee wearing nothing but a trench coat and Converse.
Here's hoping we have sound.
Let's hope we have sound. Do we have sound?
We would have.
Try it again.
Korn, Freak on a Leash!
Needless to say, Sugar Ray is in the audience and they're very excited for them. I want to point this out. Limp Bizkit is there. They thought they were going to win. And Wes has blonde hair.
All right. Well,
I've just never seen that before.
Let him have his looks.
Yeah. So, big moment for Korn. They let David speak.
I'd like to thank this is Monkey. Right here for being the hardest working band in rock and roll. Right here, these guys.
Okay. Are they going to let Fieldy talk? No one knows. Okay. Jonathan's
there's
wearing an incredible suit.
I want to thank. There's four individuals that came up. Their names are Al Masako, Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Ferris, Todd McFartin that did this.
Did he call him Todd McFartin?
I believe that was Todd McFartin.
Todd McFartin. Here, throw it back up so people can see Jonathan Davis's suit here. Basically then David goes and he like leans on the podium like he owns it and he's just like, this band. And I've always remembered that. Do we have it? There it is. Amazing. Just, he looks so great. All right.
God, he looks like Spencer's Gifts.
I guess you could say he's got the life.
We When you're doing the show in front of an audience, these intros seem super long.
Yeah, sorry, everybody.
This feels so
awkward. This is what happens to us every week.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I thought it was Freak on a Leash that he goes, it's this song.
Oh, okay.
The other one that sounds like this.
I mean, listen, it's just... Oh, there we go.
Just a mogwai.
Yeah. All right. Listen to this voice coming up here.
Oh, no.
Get your boogie on. Get your boogie on.
All right, pause it. All right. Does anyone here know our friend RJ?
Was that RJ?
That sounds
yeah,
like RJ.
That's all I've been hearing. That like
that's all as many people that know. Yeah, that sounds like him. All right. I kept that super, super local and personal. all right. You can go back and soon we get to that chorus.
Hey, something, somewhere each day, feeling with God forgiven now. What? There's shit inside, now everyone will follow. So give me nothing, just feel. And now the sheep will follow. God brings me, the more I see the light, the ones to see. God told me, I'm already got the light. Oh, I say, God brings me.
Okay. So this was the first single with a video from this album.
This was the one that got retired.
Oh, wow.
From the number two spot in TRL.
It never got to number one?
No.
Man.
It was always like Britney or Justin or someone like that.
Oh, those Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Kept them out of number one spot.
Well, number one in my heart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Jenny, do you like this one?
Not really.
No!
I mean, it's fine. It was. I think like I've just heard it too many times. I do love the part where he goes into his like little like rum diddy dum rum diddy doo parts. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude?
Twist.
Like, yeah, it's like, but it's different than that because he's not like, I don't know. It's almost like he's making fun of himself or something, which I know he's not.
Well, the thought I had was with the scatting and Freak on a Leash, the dum diddy dum in this song, and then I thought about the way that we keep bringing up Twist, so is he. Like, he's just like, you know what? Why did I put it on just one song? I can put it on all my songs. I can do whatever I want. I'm an artist.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do on this track. Rum da da da.
When all, I mean, let me tell you, people love it, right? There you go. All people
right.
love it.
Yeah.
some people don't.
So, this video. They got retired. I mean, if you're going to retire a video, that means it's incredibly popular, which means that the concept must be incredibly excellent.
Mm, you'd think.
So.
I'm with you.
Normally we'd show it, but it's, yeah, we're having technical problems. So, Fieldy, bassist, one of our favorite people, he came up with the concept.
Yes, he did.
Do you have his spec in front of you?
I don't have the spec in front of me.
I have the spec in front of me.
Okay, you go for it.
I would give my car to a bum. I thought Trey from Farside could play the bum. I wanted to blow up cars and other fancy material things in the video as a way to show that we don't care about those things. We could end the video with a shot of a big backyard party with all of our friends. In addition, I wanted to put two lowrider bikes in the scene and make it look like we were all down in Mexico partying and having a good time.
All right.
Or on the set of Fast and Furious.
That's right.
Yeah, right? And he's ahead of the game.
So their managers request Joseph Kahn to direct the video.
He did the video for Adidas.
That's right. And after asking Kahn to direct their video, he responded saying, "That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard." And then they were offended by the response, so they hired Mick G to do the video.
They're like, let's get the guy who did Charlie's Angels. Well, no, he hadn't done Charlie's Angels yet.
No.
No, he was doing Pretty Fly
for
a
while. Probably what inspired him to do it.
Right? I mean, after you do the Got the Life video, you're like, give me a Terminator. I'll do a terrible job. So Mick G does it, and he follows the spec like to the T. The video makes no sense. They jump a car and it blows up and they look at it and they're like, cool. And they walk away. And at another point, they give a car to a homeless guy. And
he's like, cool.
Cool. And then they go to a party, and all their friends are there.
They're like, cool.
Cool. Limp Bizkit's there.
Cool.
Orgy's there.
Cool.
And everyone's like, and when they walk in, everyone's like, corn came.
Oh.
What?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
If they came in here right now, we'd be like,
yeah,
oh,
I'd lose my fucking mind.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So this video was, Joseph Kahn dropped the ball, buddy.
Yeah. Could have
directed a classic.
Fucked up, Joey.
Fuck. Songmeanings.com had a couple good comments. Surfy Chick said, this is Korn's best song. And looking at the clip, I would say it's about having everything that everyone wants, but then not wanting it anymore. E.g., Monkey and David drive the car over a thingy, and it crashes and burns.
It was a thingy.
Head and Fieldy give their car away. So yeah, I just thought of it as meaning that fame isn't everything that you think it is. And when John smashes the cameras with the baseball bat, is exactly what I would do.
Okay.
Big talk.
Big talk from Surfy Chick. And then I found out, so Head from Korn has written 3 books.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I flipped through at a Borders once, and it had an incredible number of typos for a book that had been published and put in a store. So I did not purchase it. But apparently the lyric in the chorus is that God paged me and told me that I got the life.
Oh, God paged you?
Paged him.
That's a long page.
Right? And also, like, I didn't realize this song was so dated.
Well, this will be another one that helps you remember that. My favorite comment on this whole thing was from Pop-Tarts 047.
Oh.
And it says, got the milk, oh, I drink. Remember got milk commercials?
Oh, my God. Oh, I
got
didn't.
Got milk, but to got the life. And then instead of God paged me.
Is anybody else's nose bleeding?
Oh, I drink. Whatever. I liked it. I'm giving it another upvote right now.
All right.
So we heard it's on Freak on a Leash, Got the Life. That's the album, right? We're done?
Nope.
Oh, no.
Oh, we've got some more to go.
Jenny, how long is this album?
Oh, shit, guys. This album, not respectful of our time at all.
No.
It is 70 minutes and 8 seconds long.
Yeah.
I know. Right. We have to work tomorrow.
We're 3 songs in and we're half of that. So.
All right. Okay.
All right, all right, all right. Dead bodies everywhere.
That's right.
Again, you guys, they take a minute to get to it.
They're setting a mood right now.
A mood of bass.
Yeah. Oh, what is that?
Uh-oh.
That's like a creepy Jack in the Box. But when it opens, it's not a Jack, it's Korn.
Creepy Korn in the Box.
It's Korn in the Box. I mean, I'd be scared shitless if, like, all of them
That'd
came out of the box.
There'd be more things that I was expecting to come out of the box.
Yeah. Oh, I wrote in my notes, like a jack-in-the-box full of riffs. That's what I wrote. There it is.
Hey, 40 seconds in, you gotta get warmed up.
Yeah, right?
I really like
this. This is killer.
I know I probably looked miserable.
I know, right?
Here.
Yeah.
That's just my face.
It's just that, you know, we're under incredibly hot lights and I'm trying to read my notes I wrote about a Korn song, so I'm like a little nervous.
When this song came out, I was like, fucking finally, like you did something.
Oh.
I think I heard Got the Life and Freak on a Leash too many times and now I'm immune to it. But when we got here, I was like, okay.
Right? So the big surprise for me is this song is not about actual dead bodies.
Yeah, it's the only one on the album.
Yeah, right? This is the only one that is like, you
trying
know
to
what?
Trick us.
Like, hey,
rude.
I read about this thing called Metaphor, and I'm just going to
Yeah.
Try it out.
Just trying to avoid looking at all the people getting blown around me. So I read about metaphors and decided to use one.
Yeah, it is. What is it about? Did I write that down? Or did I just write about how...
I don't know.
I literally wrote, love this song. Great note, Lauren.
Heather commented, very good. I would agree. So you're on the same.
Yeah, it's basically about that he says, hey, a sick mom with a fucked dad dealing with your life, dead bodies everywhere, basically saying that, you know, his parents were all messed up. And so how can they make him be a good person? And that if he were to follow that, dead bodies everywhere.
Right. Well, what I like about this song is I feel like the first three tracks on this album are more like, I don't know, Freak on a Leash, I guess maybe not so much, but It's On and Got the Life are more like party track type deals, especially because...
You play it, imagine having it on at a party, okay?
I can imagine it.
All your friends are there.
They love it.
Korn shows up.
Oh my God.
Right?
Cool.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what they're made for.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming, guys. Did you bring the bitch? Which is Jonathan Davis's mic stand.
Yes.
But no, I mean, like, they straight up said that Got the Life they wrote because it reminded them of a rave, and raves were very popular at that time. So that's like your, you know, get your boogie on or whatever they say. But this one is finally back to, like, you know, Jonathan just being pissed off about his childhood and stuff.
Yeah. I found a good comment from Red Army. It's about people putting you under pressure and you can't live up to their expectations. And thus, when you can't, dead bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what happens when I don't live up to someone's expectations.
That's right.
Just kill them. All right. Up next.
Here we go.
Children of the Corn.
Attention all parents.
Oh.
Report to your local therapist.
Oh. It's a paycheck.
Report to your local church. Report to your local police department. It's going down.
Glaring into my son's eyes reveals a burn. I felt during the day.
Insanity.
It was all about the pussy.
Can you pause it real quick?
It.
Insanity.
The way he says insanity is literally like it was written on a piece of paper.
Well,
not
you know.
Like he was listening to it and he was going, this is insane. No, he was like, they want me to say insanity here.
Yeah, he basically came into the studio and Ross Robinson handed him slips of paper one at a time.
And the last one was a giant check for doing this song because he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, we've got Korn on this track. It's pretty crazy. Insanity.
Okay, continue.
Never fucking like it.
We ain't taking no more. We ain't taking no more. Yeah.
So say my. I'm the children of the
world. Hope those parents reported to the local therapist. Okay, I got it. Oh, he says right after that, I'm not fucking around.
Okay.
I ain't fucking around.
Yeah. Couple things I learned from that. Generation Triple X is all about the weed smoke and the kinky sex.
Well.
How about that?
Whatever, sure.
Yeah.
Get in there.
I got to call shenanigans on this one lyric, though. Fuck the law with my dick in my hand. Sounds like he's jacking off.
Well.
Noted.
I'm not going to go.
No, okay.
You could still fuck the law with a dick in your hand.
Fair enough.
It's not like specified, and he did say kinky sex.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Who knows what is about to happen between Ice Cube and the law
dicks.
Right there. So you listened to this album five times.
Yeah, I did.
I listened to it four times. The first time I listened to this song, I was like, oh man, this song. And the second time I was like, this song. And the third time I was like, song. And the fourth time I was like, this song.
Oh, I was on that time one.
Yeah, I think I might have thought this song was super cool in 1998. It has not aged well. In a lot
like
of ways.
Like some of these other songs, too. Oh,
it has all the ingredients to make 16-year-old me be like, oh, man, I don't know if I like it, but it's edgy. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Yeah, it's. I mean, yeah, they say the F word a lot. They talk about having dicks in their hands.
They say you can love whoever you want.
Oh, man.
And your parents can't tell you not to.
Mm-hmm.
I
That's
like
right.
that.
At one point, Ice Cube says, fuck authority.
Yeah.
Classic.
I yep. mean, which is what was like basically suggested mm-hmm. with, you know, fuck the law with my dick in my hand or yeah. whatever. So.
And then at one point he says, you better check my pulse because nothing seems to phase. So he's like, I could be dead. I could well. Be one of those dead bodies in the last song. And you're like, sorry, that was a metaphor. It's not actual any dead bodies. Any good comments on songmeanings.com?
Not really.
No?
Nothing. Nothing cool. I feel like, do you have something?
I do have one from right. Spiro. He said, a song which tells, and then all caps, tell anyone who tells you what to do to fuck off. A nice youth anthem.
Thank you, Spiro.
Thank you, Spiro.
Your message is heard and you are understood.
Mm-hmm.
I hope one day Ice Cube does a film with Kevin Hart.
Oh, man. That came true twice.
Yeah, executive producer Spiro. Awesome. Well, while we're talking about dicks,
oh,
let's go to the next song, which is called BBK.
Oh.
I didn't write it, Matt. Don't look at me like that.
No,
we didn't write any of these songs.
No, we
no,
didn't. Why are you mad at this?
What are you upset about?
I'm not mad at you.
You're upset at this?
I like this.
This is good.
This is good.
So you see, sounds like an alarm's spot. Going off, please, and they just fashion their guitars off of that. I'm not trying to go there, so take me away. I'm on board with this.
Great.
I wrote that one down too. I'm gonna get quiet here because it's about to get super cool. Jenny.
Yeah.
BBK.
All right. You guys want to know what BBK means? Yeah. Thank you. You four. Get ready. This is a quote. Big black cock.
I knew it. That's why I made the faces.
I love it. They even spell cock with a K.
Children of the corn, baby.
That's what I call a Jack and Coke. Those little glasses they serve in Europe and everything. That's what I named it. Big black cock. And that's another song about me dealing with the pressures of this album and how I, you know, I'm trying to kill myself, but, you know, do I really want to kill myself? Things I'm just questioning myself. Most of this is self-structured. Yeah, Jonathan, most of this album seems self-structured to me.
I think this is good. I think it's a good riff. This is the best drumming of David's life.
Wow.
I'm going out there
okay.
saying it. Guy was drumming super hard. I mean, either he was surrounded by people getting blown, or he was like, as soon as I'm done.
He's just trying to get
here
through
I
it.
Come. And they're like, and Toby's like, you don't get to finish drumming until I like it.
Yeah. Just little eight balls
yep.
just strung across like holiday lights. People being blown everywhere. Jesus.
It is a big change of pace from how they record albums now, where they're all in a room that's about the size of this stage. And it's literally like a guy who's about 50, and he's just like, make it killer, make it killer. And then that's what they do. Then a guy yells at them, make it a killer riff, and then they do. It's on YouTube. I'm not making this up. Okay. Anything else for BBK?
Nope. Big Black Cock is about it.
All right. Oh, good.
Oh, no.
This song.
No, more about BBK. Never go to the next song.
Can we say anything? All right, this song's called Pretty. Buckle up.
Yeah, buckle
up. Are they passing out seatbelts to the audience? Okay.
Change.
Oh yeah.
Totally dad listening to this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you should be a real dad listening to this. So you can fade that out there. I'm going to read my notes.
All right.
I wrote heavy topic. Description on genius.com from Jonathan is pretty harrowing. When I say pretty harrowing, I'm not going to repeat it because we're having fun tonight.
Yeah.
But this is an incredibly grim song. Matt Nas just left.
Yeah, he left. He's donezo.
That's how grim this song is.
Here's the worst thing about Pretty. This is not the worst thing about Pretty.
Choose your words wisely.
Yeah. No, I was going to say my personal experience.
Oh, no.
No, I like listened to this and I was like, you know what? This is all right. I'm feeling it. It's pretty cool. And then like I was like, I can't wait to talk about how like I liked these songs. And then I'm sitting there reading the lyrics today and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And this one especially, I like closed my laptop slowly.
I took a break.
I need a minute.
I took a break.
And then I paid attention. So I guess that was the one good thing Pretty did, was get me to pay attention
It brings you back up. It's a super, super dark song. Did Matt Nas leave? Oh,
he's
no,
back.
He's back.
He's back. He's all right.
All right.
Back in the game.
You okay?
I tapped out.
Okay. So all I guess we're going to say about this one is killer riff, heavy topic, good for corn, I guess.
And, you know, I almost wonder if they put this in here so that the next song would seem less
ooh, good
offensive.
Point. You're right. You know what?
Upsetting.
I'll tell you guys, when we were planning this show, we were so worried about this next song, All in the Family. We
talked about it.
Oh, we met
family
up.
Meeting.
We met up. We were like, oh, what are we going to do? We didn't even think about Pretty.
No.
Oh, man.
There's more to come, too.
Oh,
we were
yeah.
Like,
oh.
We were fools. Oof. It's like when you worry about one of your relatives being crazy, and then you totally forget about, like,
your aunt.
Yeah, and your shitty stepsister who never comes over but shows up and just, like, pisses in a bush.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're just like, ah, oh, fuck, I forgot she was a person.
Do you like fire?
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, here's our uncle we thought we were going to have to worry about.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly, some of you will remember this.
Say what, say what.
Oh, featuring Fred Durst.
Say what, say what. Say what, say what. Say what, say what.
My dick is bigger than yours.
Ooh. Say what, say what. Say what, say what. Say what, say what.
My dick is bigger than yours.
Too bad, I got your beans in my bag. You stuck up sucker, corny motherfucker. Taking over flows as the limp. Need the biscuit to save this group from John Davis.
Pretty cool.
I'm on the drop
this is
a
pretty cool.
Side skill. You best step back, cause I'm a kill. I'm a kill. So what you thinking, Mr. Raggedy Man? Doing all you can to look
how's
at
how's John gonna
end.
Respond to that diss?
Check you out, punk. Yes, I know you feel it. You look like one of those dancers from the Hanson video, you little faggot.
Oh, okay.
Please give me some shit to whack with, cause right now I'm all lit, kid. Suck my dick, kid, like your daddy did.
Who the fuck you think you're talking to?
Oh my god.
I'm known for eating little whiny chumps like
oh
you.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Up in my face with that.
Are you ready?
For halitosis.
Sorry, just wanted to do that.
Yeah, but halitosis is all
you're rocking steady.
Yeah. Well, the gnarliest diss in this whole song is when Fred calls John corn on the cob. Which is like really good, so.
Slow down.
Yeah.
Some of my favorites, nappy hairy chest, look, it's Austin Powers. That didn't age a day.
Still in the zeitgeist.
Still
yeah, I
in
mean,
it.
We all got it.
I mean, yeah. I like it. Throwing rhymes at me like, oh shit, all right, Vanilla Ice.
Hey.
Like I like how he's like, oh shit, like he's like, I was gonna think of somebody else, but Vanilla Ice seems apt here.
They didn't try very hard.
This, yeah.
There's a whole, let me tell you a little something. So I listened to this 5 times. I did Kreisgau challenge this.
Yes.
Which is, for those of you unfamiliar, listening to it over just like regular speakers, working out while listening to it and giving it a good headphones listen. While I was attempting my headphone listen leg of the Kreisgau challenge to this song, and I was walking to my car. I work in Detroit. I was leaving right when everybody's leaving, and I'm standing at a busy intersection. Crowd full of people. I just got wireless headphones, so I look like an asshole anyway. And I was trying to turn it up, and I'm like, why is this so fucking quiet? And it's at this whole part where they do this run about is incest fucking. And it just turned out that I had my phone volume all the way up, standing in a crowd of people who were all staring at me. And I was like, oh, no.
I found the part. I found the part that
okay,
it was.
Yeah.
John says, so you're from Jacksonville, kicking it like Buffalo Bill, getting butt-fucked by your Uncle Chuck
yeah,
while your sister's
like,
on her knees waiting for your little peanut.
Just sitting there like trying to turn it off.
And then Fred comes back with, like, them idiots in Waco, you're burning up in Baco.
By the time that happened, I'd realized.
But this is like half, I'm going to say this, halfway impressive. When your father had your mother had your brother, but it's just too bad. Your father's mad, your mother's now your lover.
Yeah.
Right? That's like almost sick.
If you spit
that in a freestyle, someone would be like, they'd go, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
King of the dot, round one.
Yeah. Yes.
You know who wasn't impressed? A bunch of young professionals in Detroit.
Oh, no.
That had to hear me listening to it.
Well, I never.
They did not think it was cool.
Yeah.
They were like, this isn't Tycho. Turn it off.
I don't get that, but everyone else did, so
yeah.
Okay. I want to mention, so this song ends with John and Fred going back and forth. Saying, I hate you, and I hate you, but it's all in the family. I hate you, you hate me, but you know what? It's all in the family. I love you, and I want you, and I'll suck you, and I'll fuck you, and I'll butt fuck you, and I'll eat you,
yeah.
and I'll lick
yeah.
your little dick. And the friend goes, say what? Say
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I mean, the beginning of this song does say, my dick is bigger than yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a statement of purpose.
Yeah, so
I think it's supposed to be like a joke and like an old school rap battle, but unfortunately...
It suffers from the same problem a lot of rap battles do.
Yes.
Where it's two guys
is,
against each other.
Yes, flagrant homophobia.
It's just, oh, you know, I'm going to take this guy down a peg. Time to call him gay.
Yeah.
It's probably not the best.
Probably not the best, guys.
It's not the best.
It's
guys, let me take a harder stance.
It's one of the worst.
One of the worst.
One of the worst.
In no surprise to, I think, anyone, songmeanings.com is not worth checking out for this one.
Funniest song on the album.
Dude, that's totally what I would have said.
Actually, what it is most of the people, I'd say 90% of the commenters, talk about how they wish Fred Durst was killed or beat up.
That's
Whoa.
True.
Yeah, I know.
People don't like Fred Durst.
I don't know why either.
Well, I can figure it. Yeah.
Well, he called me up to do a Stained, and I said no.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that. So at this point in the album, I mean, we've just gone through the heavy topic of Pretty, and then All in the Family was, you know, a nice... How long is that song?
It is 440. Yep.
So practically 5 minutes of Jonathan Davis and Fred Durst.
A really self-indulgent song.
Just, yeah, right in the middle. And so this is the moment in which this album needs to kick it back up a notch with Reclaim My Place. And there's only one way to do that, you guys, and it's by saying this.
What the fuck?
Activate the pit!
It's been activated.
Yes!
It's a call to arms.
Yes!
I'm kidding. I'm in.
Yeah.
All right, I'm less in right now.
Oh, these are good verses.
Give him a minute.
Give him a minute. So dumb, now it's nothing to hate. Really, is it me or is it fate? Give me peace or release for fuck's sake. You're back in. You're back in. Yep, yep, yep. Get it going. All right, Matt, if you can go, I just wrote, I have a lot of exclamation points in my notes for this song because it's fucking killer.
It's a great song.
If you go to 242, there's a drop, and my note for it is simply, oh God. That's great. That's super good. And then they do a quiet loud 3:30 to 3:40 for the final What the Fuck drop, which is incredible. A real favorite. Another great comment from me.
What the fuck?
Oh yeah. This is
what the fuck.
Oh my
so
god.
Funny.
What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah! Right? Don't flip the table! But you wanna just get nuts?
All right, I'm into that song.
Yeah, yeah, right? They don't really need any other lyrics, but what the fuck, you know?
So that's the end of the album, and all right.
No, but we're close, though.
We're close. We're getting closer.
We're going to have some highs and lows.
Right.
We've got 4 songs left,
mm-hmm.
So just hold on to your seat. We've got a roller coaster coming your way.
Real quick, this song is great, better than Freak on a Leash.
Oh, yeah. This is my first or second favorite song on the album.
Yeah.
We've not yet heard my other first or second favorite song.
Oh, really?
On the album. Oh. That's right.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I really liked this song a lot.
Yeah.
I thought it was properly heavy. It activated the pit.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't anything in it that made me want to take a shower.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So that was good. That that ticks off all my boxes for a good song.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's killer front to back. I love it.
All right.
Yeah.
Up next, Justin.
This is also another good way to start a song coming out.
Takes a minute.
It does.
Takes a minute.
But then Jonathan's like, wait a minute. There we go.
All right, Matt activated
the pit. Matt activated the pit.
Two pits in a row.
Oh, wow.
That's unactivate the pit.
Oh, is that what that is?
You can unactivate it.
Oh, then it's leave the pit.
Leave the pit. All right.
It's just a bit of a moody boy.
It is a moody boy.
Well, from what you said, it's real sad.
I like this.
I like this. I'm into this. So you can bring it down. So we haven't brought this up, but this song is nu metal as fuck.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Very much so.
Very
this
much.
This is checking all those nu metal boxes, which there, I think there are two.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are the nu metal boxes?
It's got to sound, it's got to be heavy and it's got to be cool. Call me on my joke.
Is
you want me
it
specific
heavy?
About my joke?
Is it cool?
It's got to be heavy. It's no, gotta, it's, look it's, for that t-shirt in the back yeah, with yeah, all yeah. of our merch.
T-shirts in the back.
Heavy and cool.
Yeah.
Check, check.
So this is about the fan who died, Justin. He wrote this about him. If I ever died and my favorite band wrote a song about me and the first lyric was fuck all that bullshit, I would come back down from heaven to blow them a kiss.
Oh, I thought you were going to stop it before a kiss. And it would be like recording the it's first on. Song. They were all angels. Come down from heaven. I thought the song was good. I thought it was actually very sweet. It was nice that they said, you're going to die. Want to meet me? Why? I wish I had your strength inside your soul escapes. It's like actually, I thought, pretty heartfelt.
Mm-hmm. It's literally about what would it be like if you were in Korn and someone said, a kid who's dying of cancer wants to meet you. And you were like, really? That's literally what the song is
I'll
about.
I'll take that over yeah. most of these other lyrics.
It's true. It's true. No, this one's it's good. I said, I wrote in it, what a tribute.
Yeah.
Take that agreed. Sincerely or take that as a joke. I mean it both yeah. ways. I think that's all we have on this one.
Yep. Up next is Seed.
Oh, Matt Naz, are you feeling this bass?
Yeah, his fret isn't rattling as much.
Oh, give it a second.
It's going to rattle.
It's going to rattle. It's his default. What's happening? There we go. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, are you starting another pit?
It has been activated.
It
once
is
more.
Another one. A threefer. Can they keep me in it? Probably not.
Yes, I think they will. Not right here, but give it a minute.
I'm stalking right now.
You stalking the pit?
Yeah. Prowler's out from behind the
pit. Oh, Prowler!
Prowler's back. Very good.
Oh, yeah. Every day it gets a little louder. Still Prowler.
Just keep prowling. It'll be
just
worth
keep
it.
Prowling, Prowler.
A certain place. Prowler's abs aren't in good shape.
Okay, well. This is a good time to get
Prowler's let himself go. I feel so lost within, pressured. I'm heading for that day.
Just one thought in my head, really. This is a pretty long verse.
It's fine, just wait for it.
Oh, you're right.
Here we go.
You're right. Every time, goddamn, I look at my sword.
I'm so pressured, I'm so worried. Something takes a hold of me. Something I can't believe. All right.
They don't stoke the pit enough.
Oh,
or they stoke it too much. Like, they get me in. I'm active. I'm ready to go. I need them to push more. But instead, they pull back and then, like, Jonathan Davis.
You're making him like a little Mortissey.
Yeah, you are going a little Mortissey.
Someone
Mortissey. Morrison Morrissey.
I've read Mortissey. Mortis and Morrissey.
I have to go. I had an idea.
Mortissey takes UK.
Shit. See ya. The chorus on this.
Yeah.
Is so good.
It's so killer.
We can't listen to it together, but when you go home, I know you're going to want to listen to Korn more. Listen to this. The chorus is so good. And normally I don't give a fuck about a chorus, but this one I was like,
yeah,
all right.
Okay.
All right, boys, you got me. I love it. This is my first or second favorite song.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's Seed. Oh, all right.
All right.
I like Seed.
You like
Seed? That sounds weird.
It does.
This is about Jonathan Davis's son. That's it.
Yeah. It's about his son, Nathan.
Obviously. And that's what Harry Manback said. We're back to Harry Manback on songmeanings.com. My favorite comment on songmeanings.com is Bishop102.
Uh-huh.
This song is wicked as, period. They should have released this song. That's it. It's my favorite one.
Okay.
You guys have to be your favorite. It's just mine. It's fine with me.
I know there was a good one from commenter Elimination. He basically has an entire quote from Jonathan saying, "Seed, that's all about the same thing again. I, laying in bed in my hotel room, thinking about, do I really need all this stuff? All this pressure on me? Because I'm a stressed out freak. It's about Nathan. It's about every time that I look into his eyes, I see myself, how I used to be, innocent and stress-free. I'm kind of jealous of it. It really sucks. I used to be that way. It's like I have to work so hard at this thing in my life. I have to become a stressed out freak. I put food on the table for my child. Every time I look in his eyes, I just see myself staring right back at my ass laughing. I was like carefree, innocent as a child. It's really weird, and I'm really jealous of it." End quote.
Hashtag growing up sucks.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I also like on songmeanings.com, whoever put the comments in, or put the lyrics in, everywhere that he says in the lyrics, "I look at my son," they put in parentheses, "Seed." Like, just so you know, that's what they're talking about. Son, seed.
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 Annotation. It's a seed.
Seed. Seed.
All right, guys, we got two more to go.
All right.
This next one, fucking buckle up. Yeah. Cameltosis.
Takes a minute.
Really?
I should have known it from the start what I was in for. She break her tenfold. She copy, we exchange some info. Called her on the telly, conversation was simple. And plain Jane, my game retained the tempo. And things, no shame, two sparks turned into flames. Nipples in the park, just dancing in the rain. Hook me with this fix and look to drain my aim. Some never retain what would have sucked from your veins. So baby, I ask you. So baby, I ask you.
So
baby, buckle up. Here we go.
So baby, I ask you. 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 So baby, I ask you.
Okay, now buckle up.
You see this time, I cannot ever let another cunt. You drink as well. Love twice or you'll get.
So,
there's a lot of this song that is Jonathan saying, "What do you want from me?" And Trey, who's from the Far Side, saying, "So baby, I ask you, what do you want from me?" And I don't know for sure, but I'm going to say it's to not be called a cunt. That would be my first guess.
First guess?
Might want some other stuff.
Right.
Probably first and foremost.
Yeah.
Could you not call me a cunt or a trick-ass slut or a bitch or any of the other things?
He says, you know, he can't love another one.
He can't. Not after one.
No. Well, it says you love twice and you'll get fucked, so.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a fact.
So this song was tough.
This was a rough one.
This was tough. This was one that I could see why they buried it.
I wrote this as this chorus is from fucking hell.
Yeah.
But good raps from Trey.
I guess.
He showed up. I think he showed up. He
who even cares? When, like, it just sucks so much that who cares?
Yeah.
at this point, we're like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
We are 15 tracks into this.
So I was like, there's got to be something pretty good in the comments on songmeetings.com. And I had to go to my my good friend Godlike.
Okay,
that's God hyphen like.
Yeah.
This song is about being attracted to sluts who will hurt you emotionally.
Yeah.
The subject of the song has a disease, cameltosis. Simple as that. If you're not mature enough to understand that, then don't listen to Korn. Hold on. Yes, I'm talking to all you people who don't know what camel toe is.
So it's a disease.
Cameltosis.
It's a disease about when your pants don't fit you.
Yeah. It's a
it's
horrible
very
affliction.
Curable by buying bigger pants.
Right. Part of the proceeds tonight will go towards fighting cameltosis.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Oh, God. I just realized I lied to you all, and there are still two more songs. I'm sorry. You're I have cameltosis. Right. I'm not thinking correctly.
One other person said, what they said? Sixth Heart says, this song works best if you imagine listening to it while walking through a pyramid.
Well,
maybe that's why it didn't work for us.
If I ever make it to a pyramid, I'll let you all know. As of right now, doesn't work.
I love the idea of someone going all the way to the pyramids and being like, do you want to take the tour? Nah, I got my own tour.
The cure for cameltosis.
Cameltosis.
Maybe that's what conjures the mummy.
In theaters Friday.
Yeah. I was paid for that. I was not.
We were not.
We were not.
We're
not paid for any of this.
Nope.
All right. Up next, my gift to you.
Bagpipes are back.
Here they are.
How is this song 7 minutes?
Really? Listen to this. I mean, I don't think we get to vocals for like two. I don't know.
How is this his gift to me?
Oh, well, it's not for you.
It's not for you, man.
It's for a
special lady.
Special lady.
With your broken soul. Around my crotch.
Oh, good, yeah.
Yeah, see, he's
right
on his crotch. It's
crotch
not for
line.
You, Matt. Okay. So Jenny, you want to talk about what this song's about?
Yeah, so this song is about, it's about fucking a corpse.
Yep.
I'm going to level with you all.
Yeah.
Apparently, his ex-wife was like, why don't you ever write songs for me? And he was like, I'll write a song for you. And it was all about choking her to death while they're boning.
Yeah.
Because that was a weird fantasy they shared.
Yeah, apparently she was into that.
And so was he.
He? And then he had a dream about it.
And she would always leave little notes like, my gift to you. And then like she'd write down how he was going to die.
We take you now to Jonathan Davis's kitchen table. Hey, I finally wrote that song for you.
What's it about?
Well, you're going to have to wait at least 3 minutes for me to play bagpipes. But then after that, I'm going to lay out how I'm going to strangle you to death and then have sex with you.
Dad, I'm right here. It's Nathan. What
get
the
out
hell?
Of here,
Nathan.
Seed.
What the
Seed,
room.
Get out of the room. No one wanted you in the room, Seed.
Thank you, Jonathan. That means the world to me.
Well, I just think that you would be the most beautiful corpse.
Thank you.
Also, H.R. Giger made my mic stand. He did the Aliens film.
You should call her the bitch.
After you. My pet name for you.
Let's get divorced. Because that's what happened.
Hey, who's driving me to soccer?
Seed outside.
Out. Seed out now.
I'm becoming my father. And scene.
All right. That was another installment of Roach Coach Theater.
Thank you.
I clap for myself.
You clap for yourself. Matt Knott's like, I crushed that JD impression.
Oh, if anybody could capture the pathos of Jonathan Davis.
It's true.
In my notes, I wrote the description of what the song is about, which Jenny just said, and then I wrote, fucking hell. And then I wrote, good riff, though.
Yeah, it was a good riff.
It's a good riff.
This whole album is full of good riffs and bad lyrics.
Yeah.
Well, talk about good riffs. The secret track.
Secret track. It wouldn't be a Korn song, a Korn album without a secret track.
I said I...
Oh, yeah.
Smokes every now and
so,
then.
So, hold on. But so this is a clearly stoned conversation between Fieldy and Head.
He's dying.
I've listened to it, counting the four times I listened to it, plus all the times I listened to it in 1998, and I have no idea what they're talking about. Like, you know. And what's really funny is to imagine them recording it and being like, yeah, keep it in.
So here's the song.
So it's Cheech and Chong's Earache My Eye.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. You know what? Okay.
Yeah.
Why not?
I'm fine with this.
This is better than a recording that you found in like a junkyard of two people yelling at each other.
This is true.
Which was the hidden track on the first Korn album.
Yeah.
If you somehow don't know that.
Yeah, it's two people arguing for an incredibly long time.
A long time. Yeah. This is much better than that.
Yep. And what was the secret track on Life is Peachy? Oh, it's an a cappella twist.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
That still is not going in the canon.
That is not going in the canon.
A cappella twist.
No. Regular twist.
In.
Go
acapella
ahead.
Twist.
Acapella twist. Wait outside the canon.
Yeah.
Thank you. You can be picked up by full twist when I throw it out later.
So, Jenny, you were talking earlier about how things got crazy and people just started playing different instruments.
That's this one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who was on what?
I don't know.
Okay.
By the time I got to this, I was like, for fuck's sake. Every single one of the five and now six times.
It's Fieldy on vocals with Cheech Marin, John on drums,
yeah,
David on bass, and then, this is so dumb, but Head and Monkey just switched guitars. Like, they both play guitars, so they're just like, I'm gonna play yours.
You just stay in your lane.
I have a feeling
so
that
they didn't change between rhythm or lead. They just physically switched guitars.
I think what happened was everyone else changed dramatically, and then Head and Monkey were standing there, and they just looked at each other, and they're like, eh?
Eh?
Yeah. Okay. And then they switched.
By the way, I love Jesus. Here you go.
There you go. Yeah, great riff. And apparently this is a famous riff. Like, apparently the song has been
classic.
Covered countless times. And I went and listened to the original Earache My Eye, which is from Cheech and Chong's wedding album. And it has a skit where one of them is an angry parent and the other is a kid who won't get out of bed. And it really sounds like something that must have been hilarious in the 70s. It literally just sounds like someone beating a kid.
Oh, no.
That's literally... this is a comedy skit? And it's literally just like, okay.
I loved it when I was a kid.
Oh, you liked it?
Yeah.
Totally. Okay.
Well, it's on message with the rest of this album. There about terrible things happening to people.
Yep.
So we heard 42 tracks. That's the end of the album.
Right? That's the last song on the album, everybody!
You're all so brave. You're all so brave.
You made it.
We made it. Y'all made it together. And do we want to open it up?
We have to.
We have to.
We have to do at least one tops three because it's late already.
Is it late?
Yeah.
It's late.
Okay. Well, we're going to open it up. Normally on the show, we do who's tweeting, but you are all in front of us right now. So we're going to open up the floor. We have a mic to my left, your right, for who is speaking directly to us right now.
Who is?
Who would like to come up and say whether or not we should put this album in the canon.
Or any other Roach Coach.
Or anything else. If you're like, I don't give a shit about Korn, but I've got some beef about Nonpoint or something. All right. My man,
right.
Come on up. Give it up. All right. State your name, state your favorite nu metal band, and then state your question.
I'm Kelly K. Fresh. I've been on
yes.
the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We know you.
I've been mentioned a lot on the podcast, yes. So... Favorite new metal band? Oh, shoot. I guess it would be Deftones, I guess.
Yes.
There you go.
Good choice.
And what else did you want me to...
That, and then your question.
Your question.
Okay. I've been thinking about this for a while. A couple months ago, you guys said that for the Roach Coach 2020 presidential campaign was going to be a strong middle class and wet pussies.
This is true.
I forgot about that.
We stand behind.
Yes. Ringing a bell. Okay.
I believe Jared from Head PE is the one who put that out there first. We stand behind it. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I want to know more about this platform. And and also, does this platform involve Brandon Boyd's foreplay?
Good question. Give it up for Kelly.
Well,
I guess it all depends on whether or not Brandon Boyd's foreplay will lead to your own personal...
Well, don't say it when you're looking at
me. You're right. Sorry about that. Sorry, I'll just look off in the middle distance.
Look at the exit sign.
Look at the exit sign.
That's what I'm doing.
All right.
Well, I think we can all agree on a strong middle class.
Yes, absolutely.
Strong middle class, yes.
Strong middle class, show. If that contributes to a wet pussy, perfect.
Yeah,
we're good
nothing,
for it. Great.
Nothing makes you more wet than financial stability.
And if Brendan Boyd sneaks out of some bead curtains.
Bead. With a D. Bead curtains.
All the better.
All the better.
Yep. Great question. Thanks. Anyone else have any questions? Oh, wait, gentleman right here. All right. State your name, favorite new metal band, and your question.
Hey, guys. Nick Fenton, also the Jester on Twitter.
Hello, Nick.
Hello. Yes. Hello.
Thank you. Favorite new metal band is going to be Nonpoint.
Hey, all right.
My question is, why do you guys always say an album needs a Bodies? Because a Bodies is way up here. And I don't think all albums are going to have a Bodies. It can be a really good album without a Bodies. And I just wonder why you're making that the gold standard.
Okay.
Good cue.
Good question. Thank you.
I think when an album is on like a level of being good to okay, that's when like I'll say, I need a Bodies here. If an album's just like solid and good and doesn't have a Bodies, I'm cool with that. But if it's like on the side of okay, like bordering good, I'm like, I just need that little kick up to have a Bodies.
Right. Yeah, I think of Static X, Wisconsin Death Trip as an album that is fantastic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yep.
Wouldn't have a Bodies like we would say it needs a Bodies.
Yeah, that doesn't need a Bodies.
And we call it out as like it didn't have that extra zhuzh, but it was so damn good.
So damn good.
Everybody uses the word zhuzh. Zhuzh.
It's got that zhuzh.
Wisconsin Death Trip, just it didn't have that zhuzh.
Classic new metal descriptor.
Mm-hmm. But, yep.
That album's fantastic, and it doesn't have that, and it's a shame that more people didn't hear it. And sometimes I think the thing that limited more people from hearing those albums from artists that are exceptional is that extra push into a single, which is dangerous too, because there's another point where it's like other fans who have been with them, where they depart from the sound that they actually have, will go, "Ah, screw this band, they did that to get more radio play." So I think sometimes it's dangerous for us, but I know what we mean. I'm totally taking over this question, by the way.
Go for it.
But I know what we mean. We're like, we need the extra. We need the push. But I totally am with you. I think we're all with you. Like, if it's a great album, it stands on its own. We don't care if there's a single.
Right.
And I would say Wisconsin Death Trip is the first record, I think, that there was a single, but there wasn't like a Bodies.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think we just say that because we love the song Bodies.
That's true.
Because we
if we're listening to an album
listening.
And we're like not that into it, I'm like, no, it'd be great on this album, Bodies.
Yeah.
Like so if they just covered it.
So it's like generic new metal band, fifth track Bodies by Drowning Pool.
Yeah,
and then back to the rest
of
the
album. You just daydream about it.
Yeah.
God, I wish I was listening to Bodies.
Right.
We can take one more question.
Okay, one more question. Oh, all right. Yes. Oh. State name, favorite new metal band, and your question.
My name is Matt Lyon. My favorite metal band is Seven Dust, and your episode really tore me apart.
Oh, sorry.
However, Their first album is not their best work, so.
Oh, okay.
I implore you to continue on.
Oh, we will.
Okay, yeah, excellent. So I kind of skip around your discography, and I must have missed the episode where you went, is it Ross Robinson, is that his name?
Indigo, yes.
Andrew? Can you tell me the story of who he is and why he's important?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Gather around, children.
Yes.
Thank you,
wow.
Matt.
Wow. This is a great final question.
Let us tell you the story of how the angel was born. Lauren, tell the story.
So Ross Robinson is the godfather of nu metal.
Yes.
He produced the first Korn album, the second Korn album, the first Limp Bizkit album, the first Soulfly album.
The Vanilla Ice nu metal album.
Vanilla Ice, the metal album.
The first two major label Slipknot records.
Yes, he did.
Major label as in Roadrunner.
Yeah. And he did Soulfly. Oh, no, I said Soulfly. He did Sepultura, Roots, Bloody Roots.
Yep.
Roots. And basically, he defined the sound that all these other bands basically hopped on afterwards.
And he recorded most of them at this place called the Indigo Ranch.
Yes.
So that's why we have Indigo Angels, and we call everything... Right now, you're in the Indigo Theater.
Yeah.
And he's also out of his goddamn mind. Yep. And he really likes to push bands to... like tear deep into their souls, doing such things as screaming at them, making them scream until they puke, throwing plants at them. So if you're confused about why we were talking about throwing succulents, it's because Ross Robinson would pick up a potted plant and throw it at you if you weren't doing a good enough job.
Yep.
We go as far as, and it really comes to Ross being an angel, because in $3 Bill, there's a track called Indigo Flow where Fred basically thanks the world.
Everybody.
Everyone. You
so
all
people.
Got banked. You don't know it. Listen to it. You'll be like, oh, shit, me.
He thanks Danny at the Milk Bar,
yep.
Which is in your programs.
Mm-hmm.
And he thanks Ross. But in particular, he says, Ross, you're an angel.
Yep.
So that's where Ross is the angel.
That's where it came from. Fred called him an angel, and who are we to disagree?
Yeah, we were like, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Good call, Fred.
Yep. And,
all right.
That's it. Okay, so let's talk about whether or not this goes in the canon.
Yeah. I think yes. I mean, it has a ton of problems, and some of the songs are bad, but not enough of them are bad to, like... not put it in. It is like a seminal nu metal record, and it's overall good, and some of the best songs are toward the end that nobody even heard, in my opinion. And mm-hmm. although I wasn't huge on Freak on a Leash or Got the Life when we listened to it, I think it's because I've heard it 8 million goddamn times.
Right. And when they play it in July, when we go see them,
yes.
you're going to be all
about
I'll
it. Be excited then. Yeah. Yes. And you'll look at me and be like, remember when you said you didn't like it that much?
I will
like,
definitely
yes,
do that.
I do remember that.
Yeah, I basically said, I mean, it's the lyrics. I wrote hellish topics, but these are great riffs.
That's
like,
true.
Across the board. They
and
brought the riff
down. Sounds great.
And you know what we didn't say at any point?
What?
Oh, this sounds like a song we just heard. Like, they were like different weird noises every song.
Yeah.
Which I applaud them. So,
I agree. Matt?
Matt?
It's in, I'd like an asterisk on All in the Family that says something along the lines of this struggles from battle raps. Battle rap's ability to reduce things to sexuality, which should be a non-starter.
Okay,
a long
you're
going
to have to remind Lauren what that asterisk
Well, I could say like, hey, don't call people faggots. How about that? That'd be good.
That's a pretty short one. I can remember that one.
I'm glad.
I'll keep that one in mind. Thanks for the tip. Okay, well, that's it. That's about it for the show.
That's about it.
We have a couple things. We have some... everybody got raffle tickets, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. It just occurred to me, do we have the raffles tickets to call from?
I will get them in just a second.
Awesome. And so we'll need that for the raffle, which
we'll just guess numbers.
Which we'll do. But also, Jenny once said that people tell us their dreams and their wishes, and we often take them and make them true. And a long time ago... in the show, Jenny once said that there were certain people that she would have coffee with and wouldn't have coffee with. And a listener, Caleb, who couldn't be here tonight, he made a spec shirt of that. And so I said, why not make this dream real?
Oh,
I contacted our good friend Mitch, who you know, Jenny.
Yeah, I know him.
And we made, for you, limited edition.
Oh, my God.
It says...
Metal stars I would have coffee with.
Read it.
Wes Borland.
Oh, God.
Rob Flynn. Max Cavalera. John Otto. Fieldy.
And then on the back... But never Surge.
Oh, thank you.
It's the lead singer and assistant of the Down for everyone in the audience who does not know.
So, Jenny,
oh,
that is
gosh.
Yours. You have the only real
thank
one
oh.
in the universe.
Wow. I feel like the most special girl in the
there
world.
There you go.
Thank
and
you.
Yeah.
I don't have presents for you.
That's fine. And that, I guess, brings us to the end of the show. Thank you all so much for coming.
Oh,
shit!
What is this? What's in the back? Come closer. I can't see. There's so many lights. What is this?
Oh,
it's Brad Hicks! And he made a Not My Cannon sign. He says, seriously, how long does this podcast need to be?
An hour and 40 minutes, I guess.
Brad, yes.
Oh, no.
Thank you for respecting our time and starting promptly at 9.
Brad Hicks, everybody.
Oh, Brad. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you for taking the time to make a sign.
Thank you for making a sign.
You are a true nerd.
Yeah, and that does bring us to the end of it. Matt, do you want to?
Nope.
Oh, yeah, I just was going to say, our proceeds from the door will be going to
Motor Kitty Rescue.
Definitely check them out online. They adopt cats out. They're a great cause here in Detroit.
And if you're not here and you want to give them money...
Motor Kitty Rescue.
Yeah,
Motor
go there Rescue. And just give them all your cash.
Give them all your cash. And do I have...
Yeah.
Say it.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
And thank you. Yay! Here we go. The audience here. Go comedy. All right. And I think that's it.
That's it.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you so much for coming.
Now watch us awkwardly leave the stage.
I'm so numb, therefore I can't relate. I'm so dumb, there is nothing to hate. Really, is it me or is it fate? Give me peace or release for fuck.
And also, I just realized we didn't talk about the fact that Robert Kreisgau reviewed this album.
Shit, well, he did.
But he gave it, like, what, a C minus?
C.
C.
Gave it a C.